the next person who's volunteered to come and tell us a story is Susan Everingham.
It's lonely up here.
Well, thank you for volunteering, Susan. You have an 18-month daughter and an 18-month-old daughter, and I think some of your concerns relate to your relationship with the child and your position under the federal laws. So please tell us about them.
I actually would have liked to have brought her here this morning, but anyone who's has anything to do with her, she's a bit older than that now, 20-month-old, would know that it wouldn't work for any of us. So she's with my partner at the moment. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to be here today. I can't help but recall a documentary I saw a few years ago about a person with a disability. And the documentary was about how they overcame the many challenges that they were faced with because of that disability. And that person said that they often forgot that they weren't the same as everyone else until someone reminded them. And I guess that's how I feel, and that's how the experience that my family regularly has. My partner Maria and I have been together in a loving relationship for 13 years. We expect, as Michael was saying, with his relationship, we expect to be together until death do us part. And yet, in the eyes of the government and the law, our relationship is not valid. As we just discussed, we have a 20-month-old daughter. I'm her biological mother, but my partner loves her just as much, if not more sometimes, I think, than I do. And yet, my daughter's birth certificate states that she has only one parent. And I find that very sad. Not just for me, but for the time that comes around when she actually is old enough to understand what that means. If our daughter needs medical treatment, my partner Maria can be questioned by nurses or doctors about whether she has the right to make decisions about that treatment. And that's happened. We were at the outpatients, I was parking the car, Maria was trying to deal with our daughter, and basically they were like, well, who are you, and sorry, you're not on the Medicare card, and let's just wait, you know, while my daughter's got 38 degree temperature while we find this, you know, the real mother who's, you know, trying to park a car. As I said, only I can be listed on our daughter's Medicare card, and if there was a medical emergency and I wasn't available, you know, I shudder to think what might actually happen, because there's probably a strong possibility that Maria would not be allowed to actually have access to her or to our daughter or to make decisions about what happens. We're a family, and yet, if I died, Maria would have to rely on the goodwill of my parents and my three siblings not to challenge her right to have custody of our daughter. My family, luckily for me, it's sad that I have to rely on that, but my family would never do that. They would never challenge that, and as far as they're concerned, Maria is as much our daughter's mother as I am. But it's insane that I would have to actually have such decisions about my child made by other people. On the financial front, as we've heard from other speakers, we're also discriminated against. We have a mortgage, we have a single bank account, a joint credit card, we share everything we have, and yet we're disadvantaged under the superannuation laws. As a non-biological co-parent, Maria doesn't have access to the same income tax benefits as she would if we're a heterosexual couple. As we've heard, we're not treated as a family unit for the purposes of the Medicare safety net. Despite what Centrelink will tell you, no, I'm not a single parent. I have no, single parents are great, they do a fantastic job, but I'm not a single parent. I'm tired of having to try and validate my relationship for the government by making notations on their forms, crossing out things or putting asterisks saying, I know that you don't think that I'm in a relationship, but I am. I'm not a single parent. I do that quite a bit. I expect that I'll have to do it again come, I think, Tuesday the 8th census day. I expect we'll be doing a few notations on some paperwork again. just to finish off, it's ironic that Maria emigrated to Australia 11 years ago, and at the time I was quite keen actually to stay in the UK. I'd been there on the usual working holiday thing. I was actually keen to stay there a bit longer, but because of the way the laws were set up, it was actually easier for her to emigrate here. I say it's ironic because, as most people would know, that the UK now has civil unions legislation, which means that if we returned there, we wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation, because she would be considered, she would have the same rights as if we were a heterosexual couple. There's one glitch there, and that's that we've chosen to make our life here, that we, despite all of this, love this country, and my daughter was born here, and so that's not an option. And I guess all I can do is hope that, the few things that I've said today and that the few things that other people will have said and will say will actually make a difference to get some change in the future, so that, as other people have said, we don't want anything more or anything different to what others have, but just the same. Thank you.
Susan, thank you very much indeed.